All right, folks, we're back. JE Live. It's been a bye week. We are ready for Rams football. I'm going to get you guys ready for it. If you aren't yet, the Rams are going to be taking on the Raiders. This is a huge opportunity. You talk about get right games. This is the most get right game you could imagine. Okay. The Raiders are not a good football team right now. They don't know who's playing quarterback. They can't stop the run. They give up red zone touchdowns. The Rams have had an issue scoring in the red zone. The Rams have had an issue running the football up until recently. So a lot of good things are coming out of this. And this is a really big opportunity for the Rams to essentially get back on the high side, get ready for a short week against the Vikings. They stay at home. There's a lot of things that can go the Rams' way here. I understand it's been a tough run, right? You're talking about the last five games for the Rams. They're 1-4. I'm aware. But there have been 15 teams at 1-4 that turned it around and made the playoffs in NFL history. Can the Rams be the 16th team? I think they can. I look at the schedule, and I think things are shaping up to be fairly favorable for the Rams, if I'm being honest with you. Yeah, okay, we didn't really see the Vikings coming and being that good this early on. Maybe they're not that good. Maybe it was just a fluky thing. I would lean towards they are that good. But if you believe in that whole thing with the Lions and anybody who plays the Lions, the next game they lose, well, that plays into the Rams' hand, does it not? It absolutely does. Because if, you know, the Vikings play the Lions this week, well, they would lose regardless of the outcome, right, against the Rams. Now, I'm not saying that that 100% is going to happen. I know the 49ers last year, every single team, including the Rams, week 18, they beat the 49ers. They lose to the Detroit Lions, of course, in the playoff game. Now, that's, I'm not going to get too much into that. That's more kind of like that superstition weird thing that people like to do. And I'm not going to buy too much into that. But what I will say is this. The Rams lost 26-20 on the road against what a lot of people are saying is the best team in the league in the Detroit Lions. That was a great loss. It sucked to lose, but that was a really, really good loss. Very impressive. Then you follow it up getting absolutely boat raced by a team that you have dominated since Sean McVay became the head coach and even maybe before that a little bit. Arizona wins 41-10. Just a complete anomaly of a game compared to what we're normally used to seeing. So are you guys having issues with the mic? The mic's making a popping noise. Am I talking too loud? I don't know. I'll turn it down. That's annoying. It's always something, right? That's just the way it is. Actually, I'm going to... Here, let me see if I can bring this up. I want to get this fixed. Because I do not... It's still popping. Technology, man. I had the thing perfect. Though it's not... Okay. Is that better? Is that any better, guys? Probably not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's been fine all day, so I don't know why it's there's an issue. I mean, let's see. I have it on now. No, that sounds fine. Okay. I put on my phone just to hear. All right, back to... thank you guys for letting me know. Anyway, let's go back to, yeah, the Cardinal game. Complete anomaly, okay? The Rams aren't losing games 41-10, like, every single week. And I feel like maybe the narrative... And the rhetoric is a little bit different with the Rams, even if they are 1-4. Maybe it's a little bit different if they don't have that loss. That loss still is in a lot of people's head. That loss made it so, okay, that was a really good loss against the Lions and kind of took all the energy out of the building. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with understanding that. I get people are concerned about that loss. That was an anomaly. Okay, the Cardinals are not better than the Rams, not for a second. And the Rams are banged up, and I still think the Rams are better. Then you follow it up week three, and, you know, desperate teams are 0-2. Obviously, you don't want to start 0-2 ever. You definitely don't want to start 0-2 with a 41-10 loss after you had a really impressive game that you played against the Lions to come back from 17-3, take the lead, ultimately blew it, but, you know. So the 49er game, everything had to go right for them. I'm not going to sit here and say they dominated the game. They by no means did not dominate the game. But with that said, when you look at the way they played the 49ers, everything had to go right for sure, but the defense got stops at the end of the game. You had the offense coming through at the end of the game. You had a rookie kicker coming through. A lot of variables there. So now all of a sudden you're 1-2. So you have a game against a rookie quarterback who hasn't looked that great to this point in the season going into week four. And yeah, they got a good defense, but the Bears are nothing that the Rams should be fearing. However, the Rams lose that game. Somehow, some way they lost. They absolutely outplayed the Bears. They should have won that game by a couple scores, and they end up losing 24-18. But once again, it's a close game. And the Bears, who would have thought? I mean, I had the Bears going 10-7 this year, so I'm not going to say act like the Bears are bad, right? They're not a bad football team. They're 4-2 right now. They've just blown out two straight teams, albeit they're bad. They just blew out two straight teams after the Rams game. Their losses are a close loss to the Texans and a close loss to the Colts on the road. So how bad are the Bears? I don't think they're a bad team. I just think in that moment, the Rams absolutely should have won the game. They were the better team in that game, and they blew it. The Packers game absolutely should have won that game. There were moments where they took over and they absolutely should have won. They were up 13-7, and then they let them kick a field goal right at half. And then the third quarter, they stopped blitzing for whatever reason. They stopped blitzing Jordan Love. And if you stop blitzing Jordan Love, things become easier for Jordan Love. As we found out, they dropped 14 points after scoring 7 in the first quarter, 3 in the second. They scored 14 in the third, nothing in the fourth. But that's all she wrote. 24-19, Jordan Whittington goes down with a shoulder injury at the end of that last drive, and they miss out on an opportunity. So, there you go. Now, looking at this team, this Packers team, they have a wicked close loss that came down to the final play against the Eagles. They beat the Colts. They blew out the Titans in Tennessee. They lost a 1-point game to the Vikings and had a feverish comeback, 22 points unanswered in the fourth quarter, almost won the game. They just ran out of time. They beat the Rams in LA, and they just blew out the Cardinals. So are the Packers good? They're 4-2 as well. The NFC North appears to be a good division this year. So the Rams have gone up against a 4-2 team, a 4-2 team, a 3-3 team, a 2-4 team, and sitting atop of the league right now, well, besides the Chiefs, but a lot of people will put them ahead of the Chiefs, 4-1 Lions. So the Rams have had a tough schedule, but it ended up being way tougher than maybe we would have thought. The Cardinals ended up being a good team or competitive. The Bears, they end up having a great defense. And the Packers, well, they kind of are who we thought they were. But still, Lions, Packers, Bears. So, of course, of all the divisions, the Rams played 3 of their 5 games against the toughest division in football. So I just think that there's way too often where people throw fits and give up on the team and, oh, it's over, you know, they have no chance, all that. But I think that we're just not really understanding here. They are so injured. And when I see comments like, man, Matthew Stafford's throwing games away. No. Matthew Stafford is keeping them in games that they should not be in. They're down to, let's see here. Nopu might come back this week. They lost him. They didn't have Alaric for the first 2 weeks, right? So their starting left tackle they didn't have for the first 2 weeks. They don't have Jonah Jackson probably for most of the year, if not the entire year. Who knows? And you have an issue, the injury to Avila, and that's your offensive line. Then you have your two starting wide receivers out. So now you're relying, whether you like him or not, you're relying on Tutu Atwell, who some people thought would get traded during the draft. I was one of those people. I didn't want him to, but I thought he would. And DeMarcus Robinson, he's really just the guy. He can, you know, play off a Cooper Kupp, a Puka Nacua being in the lineup, but he's not a number one. It's why he's done really nothing. I know he has a touchdown, but he really hasn't done much. And Jordan Whittington, a sixth round rookie who wasn't even getting this much attention his last year at Texas. He was overshadowed by Adonai Mitchell, by Xavier Worthy, Jatavion Sanders, Jonathan Brooks, you name it. The list goes on. This is what Stafford has had to work with. And Stafford has done a great job to keep these games. That's the reality of it. So I see way too many people like, Matthew Stafford's the problem. He keeps turning the ball over. What do you want him to do? You have any better ideas? Because right now he's trying to carry the team. You can't say the defense is trash and then on the other hand say, well, Matthew Stafford is the reason we lost. What is it? It's been five games and every team they've played has been worth something. The worst team they've played is the Cardinals. And at one point, they looked like they were going to be a really tough team. They still could be. That's the worst team they've played so far. So now, coming out of the bye, just like last year when they started off 3-6, they come out of the bye. Oh, the sky's falling. And I told you guys, Rams are going to go on a run. They're going to make the playoffs. I have no doubt about it. They're going to get Kyren Williams back. They just need to win that game against Seattle. And they won the game against Seattle without Kyren Williams. They got him back. And sure enough, they only lost one game the rest of the regular season. And that game came in overtime against a Ravens team that easily, if they didn't run into it, well, actually, they could have been in the Super Bowl. They could have. So I'm just being honest here. The Rams have a get-right game, if there ever was one, against the Raiders. That is a big deal. The Raiders are not a good football team. This is what the Raiders are right now. They just traded away Davante Adams. Now, Davante Adams was totally faking a hamstring injury. He was never actually hurt. He just didn't want to play. No one could tell me otherwise. That guy had no interest in playing another down in Las Vegas. The Chargers, they lost 22-10 to, right? Then they had this bizarre win on the road against the Ravens. I don't know what led to that, but I can tell you right now, sometimes it's just any given Sunday. And you know what they had in that game? They had Davante Adams, 9 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown. They won't have him this week, right? They also had a quarterback, Gardner Minshew, 30 of 38 for 276 yards, a touchdown, interception. But now they don't even know who their quarterback is. They have like no faith in Gardner Minshew. Then they get destroyed by Andy Dalton and the Carolina Panthers, who everyone just assumed was the worst team in the league. They barely beat the Browns, who probably are the worst team in the league with Deshaun Watson at the helm. They get destroyed by the defensive-minded Denver Broncos and rookie quarterback Bo Nix. And they get destroyed by the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are another defensive-minded elite defensive team that doesn't have much of an offense. So what am I getting at here? This is a game that the Rams could not have at a better time. You're coming off a bye and you get to play the Raiders. Are you kidding me? You better win this game. And if you win this game, and Sean McVay alluded to this on the Sean McVay show, you win this game, You have a chance to win two in a short amount of time. You have a chance to go from 1-4 to 3-4, just like that. And guess what? Then you have Seattle. They play Seattle tough. I think they win the game. And I think Seattle's fool's gold. I said it when they were 3-0. They hadn't played anybody. Well, now they're finally starting to play teams, and maybe even not because they lost to the Giants, but they're starting to play teams and they're losing. So Seattle, if they beat the Vikings and the Raiders, they go to Seattle. I think they win that game. They're 4-4. All of a sudden, now you're looking at the Dolphins. You could say November 11th, yeah, they might have Tua Tagovailoa back. I don't really give a rip. The Rams are the better team, and they're going to be pretty darn healthy by this point. By the Dolphins game, they should have everybody back except for probably Jonah Jackson. I mean, at that point, they might even have Tyler Higbee back, right? So let's just call it like it is. The Rams, not a great start. And I told you guys, going to the bye, I'm in the show me, don't tell me camp. I believe they can do it, but I need to see it. No, I don't believe they can. I believe they're going to. They're going to turn this thing around. I told you last year, I was very confident last year, wasn't so confident going in the bye, and then I came out of the bye with a different mindset. I've really been looking at this team, the intricacies. You look at the red zone offense, the lack of efficiency there. I think that's going to get better. Cooper Kupp has been so important in the red zone. If you guys missed my Cooper Kupp video, I'll tell you right now, Cooper Kupp's red zone stats are insane. First off, he's been the number one red zone threat for the Rams every single year, except for 2018 when he tore his ACL and 2022 when he missed half the season. But Cooper Kupp in the red zone has 90 receptions on 134 targets, 661 yards, and 37 touchdowns. Guys, that's ridiculous. He had 12 red zone touchdowns in 2021. He had 8 of those inside the 10-yard line. He is a huge asset. This is not just, oh, we're getting a good player back. No. Cooper Kupp makes your offense better just by his existence. He doesn't even have to catch a damn pass. He's going to open up opportunities for Jordan Whittington, who, by the way, you might not even be aware of this. Jordan Whittington is among the league leaders in average yards of separation for a wide receiver in man coverage. This guy is doing it right now. He is. And Tutu Atwell is doing a really nice job in man coverage as well. So you have those two guys. They got more reps. They're feeling better. They have confidence. You add Cooper Kupp, and you just wait until Puka Nacua is back. And now all of a sudden, you got a Matthew Stafford. The offensive line's starting to get together. Kyron Williams is the second best running back in football. And you have potentially Tyler Higbee coming back. Why can't the Rams turn this thing around? Why can't they? They have way more talent than people want to admit. I see it all the time. I see it in the comments section, the doomers. I also see a lot of people in the comments section giving them credit and saying, look, I think this team is way better than giving credit. And I think at the end of the day, the injuries have hurt them. They have tried, they've stretched this thing out, and they have as many wins as they possibly can based on those injuries. But the reality is this, okay? There are people out there that think this team sucks. They think, despite the fact that this team was in the game and should have won against the Packers and should have won against the Bears and should have won against the Lions and beat the 49ers, they think this team sucks. I've seen in the comments section that this team is the worst team in the NFL. And there's no explanation to say that this team is the worst team in the NFL. You are just overreacting. You are exaggerating. That is ridiculous. Because there's no way you can look at this roster and say, yeah, they're one of the best teams in terms of pressure rate. So they're actually rushing the quarterback. They're gaining the quarterback. They're one of the best teams at getting to the red zone. Their running back is one of the best in the league. They have one of the best quarterbacks in football. They have the receivers that are eating. There's no way that you can tell me this is the worst team in the league. Give me an effing break. That is ridiculous. It's stupid, and it's just ridiculous again. So anyway, back to the whole thing. The Rams can do this, and I believe they're going to do this. I believe that they're going to beat the Raiders. I am 50-50 on the Vikings game. Before, I was like 75-25. Vikings are going to win that game. I am 50-50 now on the Vikings game. I do think they can win that game. I do. And I think the Vikings have started to show a little bit. Okay, you saw that Packers game. If they had a little bit more time, I think the Packers win that one. And keep in mind, the weight of being undefeated does hold, okay? There is a true weight to being undefeated. They blew out the Texans. They faced a young quarterback in CJ Stroud who clearly looked like a deer in the headlights with a guy in Brian Flores' defense. You look at the 49ers. They did the same thing to Brock Purdy and barely won. They beat the Giants, whoop-de-doo, week one. They blew them out. They barely beat the Packers after being up by, what, 22 points, whatever it was. Then you have the Jets game. That game could have gone the opposite way. The Jets had every chance to win that football game. So I'm going to tell you right now, the Rams have every opportunity to beat the Vikings. Sean McVay knows Kevin O'Connell very well. So does Kevin O'Connell knowing Sean McVay. But the thing that scares you, when you look at a Brian Flores coached football team, you look at a Brian Flores defense, do you know what scares you? It's when you're a young quarterback. You have a young quarterback who hasn't seen these exotic looks and these structures that he's throwing at you, and you get the deer in the headlights. It happens to the best. CJ Stroud is one of the best young quarterbacks in the league, but he had not seen anything like that, and it was evident. Do you really think Matthew Stafford, at age 36, who's seen every type of defense in the book, is going to get deer in the headlights when he sees Brian Flores' defense? Brian Flores has a great defense, but Matthew Stafford's seen it all. See, the lack of experience is what's going to allow those Vikings games to be blowouts. They're going to be able to pile on teams. But notice something. As soon as they played a veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, that game was close. They eked that one out against the Jets. So why can't the Rams, who will likely have Cooper Kupp for that game, win it with Matthew Stafford? Exactly. So I'm 50-50 on that. I'm not going to ever guarantee a win ever again, because the last time I did that was the Cardinals. But I feel very, 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 very good about the Raiders game. I do think the Rams are going to blow them out. I do. I feel like that's going to be the most complete football game of the year. They're going to come off this bye with reckless abandon. I think you're going to see Omar Spates at linebacker. I think you're going to see some adjustments made. Joe Nopum, I think you'll see at left guard. I think Cooper Kupp is going to play. Regardless if he plays or not, I think they win the game. Then you have the Seattle game. I think the Rams win the Seattle game. Like, not that I think they can with the Vikings game, 50-50. No. I think they win it. So if we're doing the math here, the Rams are, we'll say, we'll give the Vikings their win. Just because it's 50-50 and I don't feel like one way or the other super, super confident. So let's just say the Vikings win that game, right? Rams win two of the next three. Well, what does that do? Well, now you're at 3-5, okay? And some people would say that's not very good, but the Rams were at 3-6 last year and turned it into a 10-7 record and made the playoffs, okay? So it's definitely possible. They're beating the Dolphins. I don't care who's under center. I don't care if it's Tua Tagovailoa. I don't care if it's Skylar Thompson. I don't care if they bring Ryan Tannehill back. I don't care if they call up Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. I don't care who is the starter for the Dolphins in that game. The Rams are winning that game. So now you have a 4-5 record. The Patriots, they're going to beat the Patriots. You have a 5-5 record. The Eagles have given the Rams issues in the past, but this is not a great Eagles team. So I do think the Rams beat the Eagles when I'm there at SoFi Stadium, 6-5 record. They beat the Saints. The Saints are just completely battered. They just found out pretty much that they're going to lose Rashid Shaheed for probably the rest of the season. Not looking good. Derek Carr, all that. So I do think at one point that was a scary looking thing, but now not so much. I think they win that game. I think the Bills game, they might win, but I could see them losing. The 49ers game, I think they are going to lose. I think they beat the Jets. That will be a tougher game than people realize. I think they beat the Cardinals, and I think they sweep Seattle on the season series. So if we're doing all of that, right? Because the Vikings, I'm not saying one way or another. I don't feel confident they lose. I don't feel confident that they win. I feel like it's really 50-50. So if we're doing the math, we're just giving the Vikings the win. We're looking at 2-4, 2-5, 3-5, 4-5, 5-5, 6-5, 7-5, 7-6, 7-7, 8-7, 9-7, 10-7. So that means 10-7 should be enough to get you into the playoffs, should be enough to win this division. You'd have a sweep over the Seahawks, so I'd imagine that would be just null and void. You would have the tiebreaker there, obviously. You wouldn't have to worry about the tiebreaker against the Cardinals because I don't think the Cardinals are going to win 10 games. So it really comes down to the 49ers. And right now, you know, with the Rams winning, let's say here, I have them going, 4-2 in the division. So if the Rams go 4-2 in the division, tie the 49ers at 10-7, the 49ers are already, they already have one loss. No, they have two losses. So if that happens, then it would go to some other thing. And I don't remember the exact tiebreaker, but I think it's going to be between the Rams and 49ers to win the NFC West. I think the Rams are going to win the NFC West. I think they're a good bet. And what does that mean? 10-7? Well, what that means is that they went 9-3. That's what that means. They went 9-3 in their last 12 games. And I think it is very possible. I feel very confident in it. Now, this is contingent on, of course, Matthew Stafford staying healthy, guys like that, like key contributors. If they, like Kyren Williams goes down, they're in trouble. If Matthew Stafford goes down, they're in trouble. If they lose, you know, one of the secondary pieces, they're in trouble. Like, obviously, right? But getting those guys back, not having some damning injuries, I think that they are going to win the NFC West. And I think they win 9 in the next 12 games. I do. Which would put them at, they would be the 16th team to ever make the playoffs starting 1-4. And I think if they go 2-3 in the next three games, they're in the mix to make a trade. The next Mandalorian, they're not going 3-14. I don't have any issue if you guys disagree with me, because I know a lot of people think like, oh man, like, you know, no, we're not. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Come on. They're not going 3-14. Miss me with that. No, you have no idea what you're talking about. At this point, I just have to assume you're trolling, because they're not going 3-14. Like, I can sit here and, like, yes, I respect everybody's opinion, but they are not going 3-14. That is just absolutely insane. They couldn't even go 3-14 if they tried. They're not going 3-14. When you play the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Raiders in the next five games, four of the next five games are against those teams, come on. That's ridiculous. Oh, my God. Anyway, so today we had some news. I was going to do a separate video, but I was like, screw it. We're going live, so I'll just address it then. So the Rams did, and I did allude to this being a possibility in a previous video. The Rams signed Xavier Smith to the active roster. Joe Noteboom, his 21-day window was activated, just as KT Leviston, I think it was yesterday, was activated. And while they terminated the veteran contract of Jerron Christian yesterday off the 53-man roster, they did sign him to the practice squad today. So that's a good sign. Adam Schefter just reported that Cooper Kupp is trending in the right direction to play this Sunday. What does that really mean? I couldn't tell you. It sounds positive, but trending in the right direction, that's like saying, Yeah, you know, I'm driving somewhere and the directions tell me, you know, yeah, you're going to this concert venue in Virginia, and the, like, it doesn't show where, and I show up in Virginia. I don't know where the concert is, but hey, I'm in the right direction, right? I'm in Virginia. I'm close enough. So, yeah. SoCal, thank you so much for the donation. Jake, summer here. If the Rams make the playoffs, I get you a Rams hat. If they don't, you get me a Rams hat. Yeah. I don't mind doing that. I don't love doing the, you know, the handshake bets, but yeah, stuff like that I will. Jesse Pimpin 8 over on Kick. Jake, I'm tired of people calling Cup injury prone when most of his injuries are people rolling up on his ankles. So I love that you brought this up, because people call Kyren Williams injury prone, and this same damn thing happened. This happened twice. It happened in the Cardinals game, and it happened in the Bills game, his rookie year. You might not have noticed it, because people call Kyren Williams injury prone all the time. Kyren Williams has a freak ankle injury against the Cardinals last year, right? After almost going for, I don't even know. He ran all over them. Freak ankle injury, right? Go back to his rookie season in 2022, opening night against the Bills on banner night. Guess what happened? He's on the kickoff, and he's standing there, and some moron Bills guy just like barrel rolls into his ankle. The back of his ankle. And he misses like half the year. But yes, Kyren Williams is injury prone. He absolutely is. He's prone to having random ass occurrences just take out his ankles. Now, Cooper Kupp tore his ACL, non-contact. So that's, I think, what a lot of people point to. But I totally understand what you're saying. And I like that you brought that up, because I have been defending Kyren Williams like crazy. There are people that literally say that Kyren Williams shouldn't be signed by the Rams. Not like if they could afford it. No. They're saying he shouldn't be signed at all. Like he's not worth bringing back. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And this is why you had those bozos over on Twitter. If you guys saw that, I don't know if you did, but you had those bozos over on Twitter who like that certain, you know, blue team, not all of them, but some of them, they like that like light blue team that constantly, you know, we don't know if they even have jobs. Most of them are just constantly running their mouths and all that. So they were trying to tell me that David Montgomery is a better running back than Kyren Williams. And there's literally, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, there is nothing to support that. Nothing. Zero. There's nothing to support that claim. David Montgomery, in his last 18 starts for Detroit, has accounted for 20.27% of the Lions scoring, whereas Kyren Williams has accounted for 31.28% of the Rams scoring. Kyren Williams is averaging 4.71 yards per carry, whereas David Montgomery is averaging 4.56 yards per carry. And then they'll tell me, well, Kyren Williams is the number one running back. That's why. And it's like, hold on. You told me, you said the Lions have the best offensive line. That's what you told me. Every Lions fan says we have the best offensive line. Kyren Williams, and then they'll bring up this year, Kyren Williams has been running behind a banged up offensive line, is still contributing and is still producing and still has 70% of the Rams touchdowns this season. Kyren Williams is valuable to this team. You're going to see it this Sunday. Do I think we see Blake Corum? Absolutely. But Kyren Williams is going to go off. That run defense is not good. The Rams have already started to gain some momentum in the run game. It's not going to be pretty. It's just not. So, yeah. Also, I think we're long overdue here, but shout out to Prize Picks for sponsoring this live stream. And I want to get you guys, I want you guys to know this right now. So Prize Picks is doing a 99% off bonus here. Use my code JK Bogan, by the way. First off, let's start with that. Use my code JK Bogan. If you haven't tried Prize Picks before, download the app. You put together a $5 lineup. Whether you win or lose, if you use my code JK Bogan, you're going to get $50 add to your account instantly. Definitely go and do that if you haven't already. And another thing here, 99% off. We have Anthony Edwards automatic win. He just needs 1 point. He's 0.5 points. You hit more and he's a free square for you. So Anthony Edwards on opening night for the Timberwolves, he just needs 1 point. We know he's going to do that. His projection, I think, was 25.5. So he's definitely going to do that. So definitely take a look at that over on Prize Picks. You can mix and match. It doesn't just have to be football. You can do football, baseball, basketball. Definitely want to get in on the Anthony Edwards 0.5 gimme, if you will. I understand. Again, I understand a lot of what I've read, comments. We had some great mailbags, so I appreciate you guys with the mailbag questions. That was fun. That video took almost an hour to record. That was really fun. You guys really got me going. I had over 37 comments on the mailbag, so I felt really good about that. A lot of fun. Got into some really cool topics, talking about who could be the starting quarterback after Stafford. And then I said Justin Herbert, and people had mixed reactions to that. I think Justin Herbert, I know it's kind of a shot in the dark here. I have this feeling. I think Justin Herbert's going to end up being the successor to Matthew Stafford. I don't know when that will be, but I do think he will end up being the next franchise quarterback. And I think, looking at when I was asked about the trade deadline and I looked into it, I really think Njoku is my guy. David Njoku from the Browns is the one dude I want. And people will say, well, we're already paying X amount of dollars to Parkinson and Higbee. Yeah, well, you could send Parkinson to the Browns if you had to, but there's no reason why those three can't live on the roster this year, right? You could make it work. So that's what I'll say on that. Njoku would just be insane in a Sean McVay offense. People don't understand. Sean McVay has never had a tight end that could really just break open a game. And Njoku is a guy that can do that. So there's that. Eric, I wanted to get to your comment because it's something that has been bothering me all day. I don't know where it came from. It needs to go away. It's incredibly annoying. So, Jake, what's your thoughts on Giants fans hoping for a Stafford trade? So I don't know how we went from some rando saying Stafford is going to be a Giant to then all of a sudden we've gotten as far as to seeing FanDuel's official account posted Matthew Stafford, a trade for Matthew Stafford, and it was Matt Stafford and Malik Nabers would break the NFL. Should the Giants and Rams make this trade to send Stafford to the Big Apple? So the Giants would get Matthew Stafford and the Rams would get a second rounder in 2025, a fifth rounder, and Isaiah Simmons. Okay, that's great. You got your linebacker. You have a second and a fifth. You got your second back. Now you don't have Matthew Stafford. In what way? Like, how do you put that out there? How do you put that out there? I don't understand that. Who says no? The Rams. Are you serious? And by the way, I don't know where this came from because the Giants aren't any good. Where, like, people, do you know how delusional some Giants fans are? I'm not saying all of them are, because I'll let you know that one of the hosts that I do with a show, one of the shows I do, my host, co-host, Steffi Smalls, is a Giants fan, and she was like, I don't know what's going on. This is ridiculous. Not all Giants fans feel this way, but like, what are we doing? It's one thing to post just like whatever on Twitter. I have no issue with that. We do it all the time. Oh yeah, put David Njoku in a Rams jersey. I'm sure Browns fans are like, back off. But this is different. You have like actual media picking this up and trying to push this. And I don't understand because, guys, the Giants aren't good. They're not good. Like, this is what happens, by the way, that like the mainstream media, especially in sports, when Seattle gets beaten by a team. Because God forbid, every single year, Seattle's overrated. Since the Legion of Boom, every single year, Seattle has been overrated. But for whatever reason, the media loses their collective shit when Seattle loses. When they lose to a team, now that team is on just another planet. It's insane. So the Giants beat the Seahawks, and that's probably where most of this came from. The Giants have the Eagles. I don't think the Eagles are that great this year. So if the Giants beat the Eagles, I mean, you know, good for them. But this team is 2-4. They have one more win than the Rams. One more. But guess what? They got to play the Browns. They got to play the Cowboys. Are you kidding me? They got to play Seattle. They got to play the Bengals. They barely, like, the Bengals won 17-7. Like, the Cowboys, they just got blasted at home. I'm sorry. I don't understand this at all. And it gets worse. Because if you're a Giants fan who's saying we're a quarterback away, oh, did you just forget that Andrew Thomas, your star left tackle, is out for the year? Is that just something that you forgot? And people are like, oh, Matthew Stafford would look so good on the Giants. Why? How on earth would he look better on the Giants? Not as good of a play caller as Sean McVay. Doesn't have an, like, I would say Kyron Williams right now is an elite running back. Doesn't have an elite running back. Oh, he's got Malik Nabers. Yeah, well, what happens when Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are back and they have Tutu Atwell and Jordan Whittington? Are we just going to act? Oh, yeah, Malik Nabers is better than everybody combined. Him and Malik Nabers will break the NFL. How about this? If Cooper Kupp stays healthy for the full season, Puka Nacua comes back, how about this? The Rams offense is going to break the NFL. If they stay healthy, they get a healthy offensive line, they're getting to the red zone as much as anybody in the league. So if they start actually capitalizing on those red zone appearances, then guess what? They're going to score a ton of points. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. They're not far off. It's a different type of season. I get it. You don't want to hear it. They're 1-4. I get it. But if you came to this channel hoping that I would be doom and gloom, well, you're on the wrong channel. That's just the reality. I'm never going to give up on a team after 5 games. That is ridiculous. It's nonsensical. So, yeah, the Giants thing, I have no words. Like, where did that even come from? I don't know. Well, Matthew Stafford's already been sacked 16 times. Daniel Jones has been sacked 14 times. And now they don't have their left tackle for the year. Absolutely not is that an upgrade for Stafford. That doesn't help him out at all. Like, what? So, just silly. Absolutely silly stuff. I don't know why, where that came from. Had to address it because now it's becoming a social media thing where you have all these different sports accounts, big accounts, that are chiming in. The Rams aren't trading Matthew Stafford. I don't know how much more clear I can make that. This, I just don't understand. The Rams aren't going into this game thinking, like, I saw that earlier. Oh, the Rams are going in this game. If Cooper Kupp plays, they're just trying to pump out his value. Are you kidding me? It's the same people that will complain about a Les Snead trade package, which I do, but they'll complain about a Les Snead trade package, and then they'll tell you, you know what? I think we should trade Cooper Kupp away because we need more picks. Well, you said you don't like Les Snead's trades. Why would you even run the risk of trading away a former Triple Crown wide receiver for a fifth rounder in 2026, which would be a total salary dump? And why on earth? Why? I don't get this either. People will be like, well, he's going to go to the Chiefs. Why? It's not the Rams' obligation to make the Chiefs better. I don't give a crap about the Chiefs. I don't care. Sorry you lost Rashee Rice. He shouldn't even be allowed to play. He was driving 130 miles an hour and gave an actual, like, serious injury to a few of these people that he just ran away from. He had a hit and run. If he killed any of them, he's Henry Ruggs. But because nobody died, it doesn't matter the injuries, he can play football. That's insane. I don't care that you don't have wide receivers. Do not care. You won two Super Bowls. Figure it out. It's not up to the Rams. How many times have you seen that? Oh, the Rams, they got to trade Cooper Kupp to the Chiefs. Why do they have to do that? Why? They absolutely don't have to do that. How annoying is trade deadline season when the Rams are 1-4? Good God. It's nonstop. You can't even enjoy, like, anything. Everywhere you go, Stafford's going to get traded. Kupp's going to get traded. Stafford's going to get traded. Stafford's going to go to the Panthers. Stafford's going to go to the Giants. Stafford's going to go to the Dolphins. The Dolphins could have anybody out there. And right now, Mike McDaniel is not calling a good game plan, regardless of who's out there. The Dolphins are a mess. I just don't understand. Like, we sit here and we dunk on the Rams all the time. When the Rams were bad in 2022, it was injury related, right? There were a lot of injuries on that team. They had 17 different offensive line combinations. They had Stafford for half a season. They had Cooper Kupp for half a season. Allen Robinson hit a wall, okay? And now you have people during that season saying, the Rams are trash. This is what happens when you have F them picks. This is what happens when you go all in. No, this is what happens on the first night of the season against a Super Bowl contender Bills team. You lose half of your offensive line. That's what happens, okay? When you suffer injuries and you're playing without three of your cornerbacks, people forget about that. That's what happens. It's not, oh, they went all in. No. I'm sorry your miniature brain can't comprehend it, but the Rams didn't suck in 2022 because they went all in. They didn't. That's not why. That team would have competed. They would have been like 2019. Remember when they barely missed the playoffs? They had opportunities. They barely missed it. That's what that team would have been at worst if they had health. They weren't healthy. That's the reality. They were not healthy. And now 2024, they come in here and you got injuries up the wazoo to start. You lose Darion Kendrick. I think he was the first injury of the entire season for the NFL. He's gone. So you lose your corner. Then you lose Puka Nacua in camp. You have all the injuries. I don't think at any point during training camp was there a healthy offensive line. Jonah Jackson was dealing with issues. I don't know how that happens, but Jonah Jackson was injured. You had Alaric Jackson dealing with some stuff. Nope, boom. Avila, I'm pretty sure, got banged up a little bit. Havenstein, Dotson. I mean, that's what I keep laughing at that. So let me get this straight. The Rams, when they're not injured, are always one of the best teams in the league. But when they're injured, that they're just a bad team. It doesn't work that way. And what I mean, this I blame this whole thing on Chase Daniel because he started it with that awful trade. Yeah, send Bryce Young to the Rams and send Stafford to the Dolphins. How about no? And it was send a pick and Stafford away. Yeah, how about no? There's a lot of dumb shit that you'll see around the league. I am aware of it. It's the way it is. People have to make money. I know how it works. I need to make money. I need people to click on my videos. But the difference is, you know, people will say, oh, that was clickbait, Jake. That title was clickbait. That thumbnail was clickbait. No, it wasn't. You can't have clickbait if I just had you click on a video and I gave you 30 minutes of content. That's not a thing. Clickbait is when you'll never believe this. And then you click it, it's 10 seconds long. There you go. You just got baited. That's a clickbait. You know, this is the problem, is that people are so bored right now. They don't know what to do until the trade deadline. And everyone's so obsessed with player movement. I'm obsessed with player movement. I love it. I don't know why. It must be just in our sports DNA, whatever it is. Everyone loves player movement. But the problem is it has to make sense. And it almost never does. These mock trades are always terrible. It's like these people don't understand anything. They like just are like, oh, I can see Stafford wearing that Giants helmet. So let me just mock a trade up. No, it makes no sense. He doesn't fit the Giants at all. The Giants don't fit him at all. The only place that Stafford would make sense for, the only place, truthfully, and right now they're doing pretty well, is the Minnesota Vikings. Because the Vikings are going to run into it with Sam Darnold. I like what I've seen from him, but I'm telling you, when games become really big, Sam Darnold doesn't have that championship pedigree. It's going to be Case Keenum 2.0. If they get to the NFC title game and Sam Darnold's your quarterback, it's going to be Case Keenum 2.0. You appreciate the ride, but you realize wasn't meant for that moment. That is the one team that you would say, okay, Kevin O'Connell connection, Matthew Stafford throwing to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and having Aaron Jones at running back, TJ Hawkinson reunion. Absolutely would that be the best fit. But why would the Rams trade him there? And the report that just came out, I forget who it was, but it was on ESPN, and they said that the Rams really believe they're about to turn this thing around. They feel really good about turning it around. So I just don't know where this shit comes from, but whatever. I already gave it way too much air. So guys, we're going to be transitioning over to Kick. So we're going to be doing a live stream over on Kick. We're going to be doing the All 22. I'm going to try to do as much as I can. I'm not running on much sleep at all. Actually, I'm running on zero sleep. I'm running on like some cat naps. So, and of course, Red Bull. We're going to try and get through the whole game. Be sure to check out Kick. It's kick.com/JKBogan. We're almost at 1,000 followers. I also game on there, so I know a lot of people are interested in my gaming streams. Just kidding, not a lot of people. But still, some of you are. And if you want to tune in on that, then you can. That Kick channel, we use it for that. We use it for the All 22. We use it for whatever. Kick is always going to be used. I love the platform. I understand a lot of people don't like it. I don't really care. I do. So with that said, the link just got posted in the comment section. I want to see if I can get some people over for tonight's watch party, All 22 watch party. We'll see if we can get some people over. I do have super chats to get to, so hopefully you guys didn't run off before I read them. What about Zach Wilson? would love it. I'm a big fan of Zach Wilson. I think he'd be great with Sean McVay. We'll see if that ever happens. I think the same thing could be said about Trey Lance. I think the same thing could be said about Justin Fields, that whole draft class, to be honest with you. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening there, but you appreciate the donation there. Craig, how we doing? Appreciate the five. Before going for Njoku, I'd feature Davis Allen more. Can we anticipate seeing Spates or Hummel anytime soon? Love this. So, Craig, I agree with you. Love Davis Allen. That was one of my guys in the draft. I just don't know where they are on him. Like, they used him a little bit. Now he's not even getting opportunities on offense. It's like Hunter Long is actually getting receptions now. So really kind of weird what they're doing with him. Not really a shock. I don't really know what they do at tight end. They draft Gerald Everett, but then Tyler Higbee is the feature guy. They draft Bryson Hopkins in the fourth round, and they proceed to not use him at all. Then he comes up in the biggest spot ever in the Super Bowl. Doesn't get any rewarded playing time. They've been weird with tight ends. It's why I bit the bullet and I'm just like, all right, if you're going to be weird with tight ends, I really, at this point, I just want to see David Njoku. Okay. I just want to see a Kyle Pitts. I just want to see a Hunter Henry. I just want to see an Evan Ingram. I want to see a game changer at tight end, because I think the thing that holds back this offense is not having a tight end. You know what the difference between Sean McVay's play calling is and Kyle Shanahan's? Kyle Shanahan has George Kittle. Why do we never talk about that? Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk aren't better than Cooper Kupp healthy or Puka Nacua. Christian McCaffrey is better than Kyren Williams, but you might not even believe this when I tell you this. The last 16 starts both of them have had, Kyren Williams has more yards after contact than Christian McCaffrey, believe it or not. So I think Kyren's up there with the best. He actually, his last 16 starts is 16 starts of his career. Now that he's finally had a full sample size here, 16. Kyren Williams has more yards after contact generated than any running back in the National Football League outside of King Henry. And if you talk about anybody in the league that is a bulldozer of a running back, a guy that breaks tackles and has yards after contact, it is Derrick Henry. If you take away that one game where he had that crazy, you know, like 70-yard touchdown run, that was yards after the contact, Kyren Williams would have more yards after contact than Derrick Henry, his last 16. Kyren Williams, his 16 starts in that span, he is one of the best running backs in the National Football League. It's not even close. People want to argue, and this is why. You want to tell me right now, if Kyren Williams was 6'1" and 220 pounds and ran a 4.4, he'd get the same shit that he gets right now? Absolutely not. It's because he's 5'9 and a buck 95 and ran a 4.65. That's why he gets hate. That's why people don't buy into him. That's why we have people in the comments section who will say, yeah, I'm not really sold on Kyren. How the hell are you not sold on Kyren? Without Kyren, I don't know how this team would have scored touchdowns this year. Like, he has been the red zone guy. He leads all running backs in red zone carries. That's the reality of it. Whether you agree with it or not, Kyren is vital to this team. Vital. They need him. It's just silly to me. But anyway, going back to my point, yeah, okay, Christian McCaffrey is a little bit better than Kyren Williams. Fine. Matthew Stafford is a lot better than Brock Purdy, and I really like Brock Purdy. The Rams have better receivers. The Rams don't have a better tight end than George Kittle. That is where it stops. Miss me with the Kyle Juszczyk thing. That is just a gimmick. Kyle Juszczyk is essentially doing what Puka Nacua can do in 11 personnel. That's the reality of it. Puka Nacua is just as good of a blocker as Kyle Juszczyk. Kyle Juszczyk is a good player, but he plays a position that's extinct. No one cares. When people in the comment section want to be like, hey, why don't the Rams have a fullback? Because it's not 1980. That's why. They don't need a fullback. Why would they need a fullback? What would a fullback do for this offense? No. The one thing they are lacking is a tight end on the level of George Kittle that can generate mismatches, that can generate double teams, that can just generate danger, chaos. Because it's not just Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. It's not just Juwan Jennings. You have George Kittle in the middle of the field running a seam buster. Now you have to account for that. The Rams don't have a tight end on that level, and that's why Kyle Shanahan is able to call things a little bit different than Sean McVay. So I really hope, and I really do feel like they knew this, and that's why they tried to get Dalton Kincaid last year in the draft, and that's why they tried to get Brock Bowers. So I got to give the Rams credit, because I think with how interested they were in those guys, it tells me that they knew this all along. But anyway, so that's going to do that. Special shout out, as always, to Prize Picks for sponsoring the video. I love Prize Picks. I really just, full disclosure, I don't have a sponsor that I don't love. Because I won't work with anybody if I don't agree with their product or whatever. I just won't, you know. I think that's really what it comes down to. Like, I think, you know, all my sponsors, I feel like it's just all stuff I can really push. And I don't want to name them because I don't want to just, you know, kind of like diss Prize Picks in a sense, because it's not a multi-sponsored video. It's just Prize Picks. But I'm very lucky to have the sponsors I have, and just some great, you know, products and services. So definitely check out Prize Picks. JK Bogan will get you $50 on your first lineup when you play a $5 lineup, win or lose. Days Full 8, appreciate you following over on Kick. E-Roll 19, I see you. Appreciate you following. Days Full, if the season doesn't go as we want, can you see the Rams train Cooper Kupp in the offseason? Yes, I can. Absolutely. I can 100% see that. I just don't see it at the deadline. It's too soon. I don't think the Rams are willing. Even if the Rams lose the next three games, I still don't think they trade Stafford. They might trade Kupp. It's not going to be to the Chiefs, guys. It's just not. I'm so tired of hearing about the Chiefs, dude. But hey, you got to like the Chiefs to a degree, because they beat the Niners. Not once, but twice. So that's good. Think about how much shit talk you'd be dealing with if the Chiefs didn't come through. So I always have to remind myself, well, the Chiefs got in the way of the 49ers winning two Super Bowls. And that they probably deserve to win both. That's just the reality of it. So, yeah. And yeah, the Chiefs are a team that you'd be rooting for right now. It would be horrible. You're absolutely right. Yeah, so the Chiefs are, yeah, you'll be rooting for the Chiefs this week. The 49ers dropped to 3-4 with a loss. Seattle plays the Falcons. They're not winning that game. So they'll be 3-4. And I think the Cardinals do win. I think they beat the Chargers. So they'll be 3-4. And the Rams will be 2-4. So if they beat the Raiders, which I think they will. So that's good. And then if they beat the Vikings, then they have the division tied. It's all tied up. And I actually want to do the math on that. So I know we're going to get over to Kick in a sec here. But I'm going to go on and do this real quick, because I'm just curious where that would go. Tiebreakers like that, I just go into a generator and I'm just like, all right, let's figure it out that way. So let's reset the schedule. Why did I do that? Okay, there we go. So yeah, let's say the Rams beat the Raiders. 49ers lose to the Chiefs. That's going to be a close game. Falcons beat the Seahawks, and then the Cardinals beat the Chargers. So all those teams are at 3-4. The Rams are at 2-4. I believe the Cardinals, because they're 2-0 in the division, they would have the tiebreaker over everybody. The Rams would move into second place. So this is how it works, guys. If the Rams beat the Raiders, the 49ers, Seattle, and Cardinals, the 49ers in Seattle lose, the Cardinals win, and the Rams beat Minnesota, the Rams are tied. There's a four-way tie for first place, but the Rams would be in second place, and the Cardinals would have the tiebreaker since they are undefeated in the division. So that's how that would work. And if the Cardinals lost to the Chargers, well, my friends, the Rams, after this atrocious start, just like that, the Rams are in first place in the NFC West. It would be that, like, honestly, if the Cardinals, 49ers, Seahawks lose, the Rams beat the Raiders, and they beat the Vikings, obviously those teams have to play games on Sunday, but the Rams, for the time being, would be in first place in the NFC West. Then you have the following week, there's no teams on a bye for whatever reason. The 49ers have Dallas. I think the 49ers would win that game. So they would probably take over the NFC West there at 4-4 just because they've played one more game than the Rams. Then you would have, Seattle. They have Buffalo. I don't think they win that game. They go to 3-5, and then Arizona has the Dolphins. I think Arizona wins that. They'd be at 3-5. Rams would be in second place. And then the 49ers would be on a bye. The Rams would then be able to bury Seattle potentially with a win. So if they win three in a row and the Cardinals, let's say they drop that game to the Bears, so they win one of the next two games, Rams win three in a row, Seattle drops the next three, 49ers win, you know, one of the next two, the Rams have the tiebreaker and would have the hold of the NFC West. So this is why it's not far-fetched. It's not crazy. People act like the Rams have no chance, and yet there is a scenario here where the Rams, for at least the time being, can win the next two games, and as soon as that game ends on Thursday against the Vikings, that they are victorious, depending on how things go, they would be number one in the NFC West. How can you say the season's over when that is still a possibility? I don't know. But anyway, want to just let everyone know, you guys can go over to Kick. We are going to look at the game film from the Rams-Packers game. Be sure to check that out. It is kick.com/JKBogan. It's a few clicks, and you can sign up and follow. Be sure to follow. Be sure to check it out because we are moving this live stream over. We do all 22 over on the platform there. So definitely be sure to follow because we are going to be moving on over to the Kick platform. So be sure to go and do that. We will be closing out this live stream over on YouTube, though. So, you know, that's going to do it. So I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. If I don't see you over on Kick, I appreciate you guys being here on YouTube. And please do me a favor, if you haven't already, even if you're not even going to watch on Kick, a follow would go a long way. Still trying to grow on that platform. So, if you guys could do me a favor and go and follow the channel, even if you're not really interested, that would be awesome. Hank, I don't honestly think the Rams are going to beat the Vikings, but I don't honestly think the Rams are going to lose to the Vikings. I said earlier, I really feel like it's a 50-50 there. I think it's possible, but I don't know for sure if they're going to do it. And that's kind of where I stand. That's the one game where I just don't have a true feeling about. The other games, for the most part, I feel pretty good about. I feel really good. I really do feel like the 49ers are going to win that game later on in the year against the Rams. I feel like the Rams are going to rip off a bunch of wins here. We'll see if one of them are the Vikings. It's a huge opportunity. I mean, obviously, you're going to look back on one of those Bears and Packers games and think, wow, if you just did that, you could run away with this division if the 49ers turn out to not be great. So, yeah. Jesse, Jake, what would you think of a Darius Williams, Akello Witherspoon, J.C. Horn cornerback trio? Well, it sounds great. How the hell did they get J.C. Horn? I don't know why they would trade him, but anyway. So, yeah, guys, head on over to Kick. We're going to be moving this over there. Appreciate everybody for watching, and I will see you guys in a minute. And if I don't see you guys over there, then I will see you guys very soon. Take care, folks. And don't forget to check out Prize Picks using my code JKBogan. Later, folks.